Please join me in prayer. God of love and power, you are revealed to us in your word, in accounts of prophecy and fulfillment that direct our attention to Jesus Christ. Illumine us now as we hear your word proclaimed, that we may open our hearts to him, yearn for his coming in glory, and serve him with joy. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Micah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and that can be found on page 1444 in your pew Bibles. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and challenging God, we bring swords that you turn into plowshares, and we bring expectations of peace, and you meet us with swords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's a movie quote that I like that sums up the book of Micah pretty well. And the quote is, "The sweet is never as sweet without the sour. The sweet is never as sweet without the sour." What does that mean to you all? Somebody just raise their hand. What does it mean, the sweet is never as sweet without the sour? Molly, what would you think that means? The sweet is never as sweet without the sour. Have you ever had something sour? Have you ever had something sweet? What does it mean? What do y'all think? Who can raise their hand and tell me what they think that means? The sweet is never as sweet without the sour. Yeah, Bud, what do you think?
I don't think we know how good things can be unless we get into the mess.
There it is. You can't enjoy the sweet as much as the sweet has to offer us unless you've been through what? The sour. Adversity helps us understand joy. Without sorrow, we cannot grasp true happiness. Our reading from today from Micah most definitely falls in the sweet side of the book. People streaming to the mountain of God. God judging disputes instead of flawed humans. Weapons transformed into tools of prosperity. No need for war or violence. It's all so wonderful. It's like this beautiful song that we're just singing. Thank you. I just made that up. You know, you guys can talk to me about my album tomorrow. Yeah, give it up. Yeah, exactly. Not getting hits on that one. So it's beautiful. Did you hear what Kristen read? I mean, it's just like, it's like a hippie universe wonderful thing. It's beautiful. But here's the problem. You can't appreciate this beautiful vision that Micah has laid out for us unless you know what came before. As I said in my introduction, reading Micah is like a roller coaster. One minute you're up, the other minute you're down. Judgment, hope. There's more judgment, more hope. We're all on the same ride. It's terrifying and joyful, painful and hopeful. It's a lot like life. So here are a few of the highlights of the first few chapters. I need to get y'all on the scary part of the ride before we can really get into the happy part of the ride, okay? So get ready to pucker up, because here comes the sour. And I'm going to attempt to do this. This was a really dumb idea. So when I was a kid, I had a friend of mine, Ricky Hardwick, and he used to bring candy to Sunday school. And one of the candies he used to bring was this obnoxious candy called Atomic Warheads. Extreme sour, hard candy. I used to love these. In fact, I would knock out about five of these during Sunday school. And guess what I couldn't do the rest of the day and then maybe the next 2 days? Taste anything. I destroyed my taste buds on the sour candy. Now today, for me and for you all to get a taste of the Micah sour, I am going to attempt to do this part as I have an atomic warhead in my mouth, so you can all understand the pain. And if anybody wants to go through this experience with me, please come forward. Landon, you ready? Seriously? Come on. Come on up, dude. Molly? Yeah? Okay, here we go. I'm warning you, this is not like for the faint of heart. They put extreme on here, not like extreme. You love sour, kids? Well, guess what? It's about to get blown up. All right, Mom, you coming, Amy? Okay. All right. Here we go. Everybody get over here. Everyone needs to see your expressions. Come on, get over here. Because this is not messing around candy. Right here. All right, here we go. Amy.
These were my favorite when I was a kid.
Yeah, they were mine too. Get ready. All right, everybody open your piece of candy. You got it open, Molly? All right, Amy, you got yours? All right, here we go. All right, let's put them in. Go. Mountains. Oh, gosh. Melting like wax near a fire. Valleys split apart like water pouring down a... Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to talk. The capital of the Northern Empire turned into a pile of rubble. Idols smashed, statues destroyed, ill-gotten gains burned. The prophet of Micah walking around naked, crying out like a jackal in the morning in repentance. Children taken away from their parents. Enemies mocking your misfortune, singing songs about you. Oh, man. Okay, I'm getting to the sweet part. I got more. Zion plowed like a field. Jerusalem turned into rubble. You may have more tolerance for this than I do. In the temple mountain covered with trees. Did you make it, guys? Did y'all make it? I'm doing sweet now. It's wonderful. Okay, great. I'm going to spit it out. Congratulations. You passed the test. Get out of here. Get them out of here. All right, did you hear any of that? The seeds on that? It was not pleasant. And you have to remember that Micah was living in a time without much hope. That the Assyrians had conquered the Northern Empire. They were placing heavy burdens on Judah. The economy was in the tank because of this. And and it forced the Israelites to worship Assyrian gods. It encouraged Jewish leaders to show more allegiance to the Assyrian king than their own suffering people. Micah knew the sour. Micah knew how bad it could be. So when this vision of the last days arrives in Micah 4, it is a merciful relief from the present pain endured by Judah and the promised harsh judgment from God. Yet this beautiful view of a world of peace and prosperity is more than just a temporary reprieve from the destruction of pain. It is actually a declaration about who God is and what God will do. Micah is telling us that the God we worship is a transformational God. What Micah is showing us is a God who is capable of transforming the worst we have to offer. The sin, the messy relationships, the bitterness, the anger, and turning that into something glorious, something righteous, something beautiful. This week, I had finished all my reading on the book of Micah, and I needed to do a little bit of percolating in my head. I needed to get that, I needed to figure out, what am I going to preach? What's this going to be about? So Wednesday morning, I like to occasionally do something physical to get my brain kind of moving. And several people had said to me, Gray, that far parking lot on that end of Hind and Temple is a disaster zone. And any of you who park in there probably saw weeds coming right out of the cement like they were planted there by some alien. Vines, beer bottles, drug paraphernalia, all the exciting stuff you get to find in a parking lot in Fayette County. And here, I decided that I was going to go and make this parking lot beautiful. I was going to transform this mess into spotless, spotless weed, no weeds anywhere, parking lot. So I get out there, and I start pulling. And they got those little pricklies that get all over your clothes, and I had some on my feet, and they're all over the place. And I got pulling. This was the second pile of weeds that I pulled. I think the drug paraphernalia was somewhere in there. That was exciting. And I got through this. I trimmed the weeds. And I was listening to a couple of sermon podcasts on Micah 4, hoping I could get something to get my head going. And I was mad because they were terrible. But I thought they were. But then one of them hit me. Just one thing this guy said. I didn't even like the rest of what he said. But this one thing. He talked about transformation. What does transformation require? What do we have to do to be transformed? What do we have to do to transform this world from the mess to something beautiful? And for this parking lot, I really just had to go out and pull up the bad weeds, the vines, the trash, right? So that it looked beautiful. And I thought, this is what God does in Micah's vision. God's removing the need for war, the need for violence, the need to show dominance, the need to have a jealous desire for more of everything. And God takes away the zero-sum game that each nation can flourish and prosper, where God judges between the war, nations not at war. And I thought, look at me, I'm like God. Yeah. Pulling up weeds. I was so excited how I figured this out. At that moment, though, it came to me like the simplest thing. You just pull out the bad so the good can grow. Just pull the weed out, Gray. But then the more I thought about it, the harder it got. And the more weeds I thought I had pulled out of this stupid parking lot, the more I found. And I thought, guess what's not getting done today? Me de-weeding this entire parking lot. The bad seem to flourish so much easier than the good. It will pop out of cracks in the cement. It'll encourage its weed friends to do the same. And maybe all these little cracks everywhere, these things were just growing. And I can't get anything good to grow. The bad stuff just grows on its own. And maybe you feel like this in your personal life. Have you felt this in your life? Right? Where the bad habits are so much easier to hold on to than the good ones. The same feelings of resentment, anger, bitterness, they all seem to hang on for so long. They seem to have a really great hold on you as a person. And even in society, you stop evil from flourishing in one place, it takes it even deeper roots somewhere else. That's what Gary, you were saying that this morning to me, weren't you? We found out how they were bringing drugs into school this way. Well, we shut that down. Well, guess what? They figured out another way. It's evil. That's the world. That's what happens. Evil has a way of doing that. I'm never going to get that whole parking lot cleared out because tomorrow there's going to be new weeds growing. So what do we do? How do we transform? Is it just as easy just to pull everything out and hope it'll be good? But here's my question for you all. Does the insidious nature of evil stop God from working? Does it? Answer me. No. God's judgment in Micah is uprooting the bad so that the good can grow again, the sweet and sour together. There has to be some destruction, some judgment in order for the good to take root. So will we let the bad take over our lives? God is at work in us. God is uprooting the bitterness, the anger, the frustration, and reshaping us, our sinful bodies, into faithful people. And God keeps working even when it all seems pointless. Because it's what it means to have true love. Showing grace even in the darkest of nights. God is at work on you. And so we need to be at work on ourselves and in this community. So this is how we do it. Not only do we go out and pull the weeds, uproot the mess, we have to replace it with something good. That is so important. Because we could spend our entire lives uprooting and the evil comes right back in. We know that. But if we don't start replacing after we have uprooted with something good to flourish, it's hopeless. And God has given us these tools, given us things that are good, prayer, church life, community building, all of these things that we need to be focusing our lives on. So don't just uproot the bad, because the bad's always going to be there, but you need to do that, but you also need to replace it with sowing the seeds of peace, the seeds of love, the seeds of grace, right? Allow the good habits to overcome the bad. Transform this broken place. Some of this work will be really sour work. Really sour. This parking lot, that was not fun. And it wasn't really fun when my wife found out that I had all those prickles on my shirt, even after she washed it. She goes, "Gray, you cannot put this in the washing machine." And I thought, "You want me to pick every one of these little prickles off my shirt now, don't you?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And I spent last night right? That's what I'm talking about. That work, it's slow, it's methodical, it's labor intensive, it's a mess. But it's the work we have been called to. So go from this place, sowing the seeds of love so that we can discover that underneath all this sour work, there is, in fact, something sweet that God is preparing for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.